课堂听 class.com。
Earnings at the low end of its guidance, and the same for the full year. Full year may be a bit below its earlier guidance. But then on the upside, Talbot's, another store retail chain, up 236. February same store sales up 8.1%. Company sees first quarter earnings at 59 to 63 cents a share. That would be up from 58 cents a year ago. Kohl's up $2.15. February same store sales up 6.1% versus only a 0.1% street estimate for an increase. Long's Drug Stores did well, up $3.30. Fourth quarter earnings nicely higher, 47 cents versus 36 last year, and that was 10 cents ahead of the street estimate. Another drugstore chain, CVS, up $2.72. February same-store sales rose 9.2%. The company boosted its first-quarter earnings guidance from 60 to 68 cents a share. Standard & Poor's repeated a strong buy recommendation on CVS. Fleetwood Enterprises down $1.16. Third-quarter loss of 99 cents, bigger than the 26-cent loss last year, and the company says it'll no longer be profitable in the fourth quarter, as it thought earlier. Todco, this is a contract oil and gas driller. Raymond James Financial started coverage with a strong buy and a $42 a share target. Apple Computer topped the active list on NASDAQ, down 233. First Albany Brokerage tied the weakness to rival Napster's improving subscription rate. Napster stock was up 47 cents. Intel, a 2-cent loss. Google moved up $1.33. Microsoft down 9 cents. Cisco, 6-cent gain there. And we see some more actives. Biogen, IDEC down $1.55 on that lawsuit. Applied Material, 12-cent loss. eBay down 58 cents, 29-cent loss. And Dell and Yahoo managed to gain 8 cents. Cytogen lost almost 52% of its value. An FDA advisory panel rejected the company's Combidex imaging agent, questioning its safety. And then over on the American exchange, Cytogen's partner, Advanced Magnetics, on that news, tumbled $12.40 a share, or 65% of its stock down. Those are the stocks in the news tonight. Susie?
Thank you, Paul. Starting from scratch, that's the situation now for the economy of Sri Lanka. Before December 26th, the island nation was a growing player on the world stage. But after a massive tsunami swept through, all that changed. As we wrap up our series of special reports tonight, Anish Trivedi looks at Sri Lanka's future prospects.
It's taken a disaster of epic proportions to make them sit up and take notice. For the 57 years since independence, Sri Lanka's politicians have embraced socialism and state-owned structures as a way to develop the island's economy. In recent years, some public sector companies have been privatized, but investment from overseas has not been significant. Now, after the tsunami struck, the government is finally saying things will change, economically and politically.
Sri Lankan political leadership has realized that Sri Lanka cannot move in the direction of development, in the direction of accelerated development, without foreign investment, without expanding trade, because in terms of our foreign policy, our political role of the foreign policy is over. Now we are plugging a foreign policy from the point of view of economic development and assistance.
For a country that's changed governments every time it goes to an election, that's not going to be easy. Political parties have clung to their own ideologies, often at the cost of economic development. But after the tsunami, even the opposition believes it's time for a change.
To go from here, there ought to be a certain amount of national consensus. There must be a vision and there must be a plan. And that can only be drawn up by unity or by being all political parties to look at the future more than short term. And it is here where we talk about the necessity for a national consensus.
Businessmen believe it'll take more than just political parties getting together to foster economic development.
The problem of both foreign investment and aid money coming in is the lack of capacity and lack of institutional structures to actually absorb and disperse this money efficiently. So there's a crying need to have those structures ready in order to disperse both private and aid investments to flow into the economy to create capacity.
The government says it's aware of this and is introducing the changes investors want to see.
The government is making a very serious effort, making a very genuine effort to come out or to bring in policy packages for different aspects of the economy, different areas of the economy, industry, tourism, transport network, railway network, things of that sort.
The business community believes some of that effort is genuine.
The sentiment on the ground at the present moment is one of hope, that through this tragedy, the warring factions or the political factions that have had differences, It's an opportunity for all parties to come together. It's an opportunity for the business community to be involved in more than one dimension in the whole aid effort.
With $1.5 billion in aid committed by the international community, with its debt burden being written off by lenders, Sri Lanka has the perfect opportunity to fix its economy. The government says the tsunami will also allow it to fix the other problems that plague the country. If it's right, South Asia may just have another economic powerhouse, one that's being rebuilt from scratch. Anish Trivedi, Nightly Business Report, Colombo.
Tomorrow, our Friday Market Monitor guest is Jeffrey Everett, Chief Investment Officer at Templeton Global Advisors.
Cablevision Systems says the SEC is taking a closer look at its money-losing Voom HD satellite television business. Under scrutiny, Cablevision's disclosure that it plans to sell its satellite assets and suspend the spin-off of its Rainbow Media unit, which runs Voom. Also today, Cablevision's chairman ousted three board members in his fight to take control of the Voom assets. As for the stock, Cablevision fell $1.59 or 5% to $28.65.
Shares of Taser International jumped over 5% today after a suit against the stun gun maker was dismissed without prejudice. A Michigan man had claimed that he was injured after volunteering to take part in a stun gun demonstration. Taser said there was no medical evidence linking its stun guns to the man's alleged injuries. Taser stock was up 72 cents, closing at $14.22 a share.
Here's a look now at what's happening for tomorrow. February's employment report comes out. Also tomorrow, the University of Michigan's final February Consumer Sentiment Index and January's factory orders. Earlier in the program, we talked about President Bush's efforts to reform the tax code. Well, tonight's commentator has some thoughts on that as well. Here's Alan Sloan, Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine.
Welcome to March Madness. Though I'm not talking college basketball, I'm talking taxes. It's the season we go to accountants, struggle with software, or even do forms by hand, trying to figure out what we owe and don't owe various tax collectors. You may be getting all sorts of bad news, losing tons of deductions to the alternative minimum tax, discovering if you work in one state and live in another, that you get taxed coming and going. And the tax instructions are written in no known language. So it's tempting to believe that some of the tax reform proposals out there will help cope with this nightmare. But look out. The word reform doesn't really mean making things better. It means doing what I want to do. That's why, for instance, President Bush's Social Security Reform Commission started with a predetermined outcome: private Social Security accounts and borrowing to pay for them, regardless of whether that makes any financial or moral sense. Reid Bush is charged to his tax reform commission. You see, the commission is almost certain to propose making most of all income from investments tax-free and turn the income tax into a wage tax, maybe adopt a national sales tax, and call it all reform. This has been the president's agenda since taking office, making returns easier to fill out. Sure, you jest. So trust me, no matter how many tax reforms are adopted, March Madness will still be with us. And on that note, I wish you many happy returns. I'm Alan Sloan.
Recapping today's market action, a mixed close on Wall Street. The Dow gained 21 points while the Nasdaq Composite fell 9. To learn more about the stories in tonight's broadcast, go to NBR.com.
And finally tonight, millionaire businessman Steve Fawcett has become the first person to fly around the world alone without stopping or refueling. Fawcett's experimental plane, the Global Flyer, touched down this afternoon in Salina, Kansas, after 23,000 miles and 67 hours in the air. Yesterday, a fuel problem raised concerns that Fawcett might have to abandon the journey, but he and his crew decided to continue on. Fawcett already holds the record for flying solo around the world in a balloon, although that took him 6 tries. Paul, for this record, the first time was the charm.
I think congratulations are in order, as is a good night's sleep, because he's brought jet lag to a new high level.
Yes, absolutely. I'd say he's the true aviator.
Yes, he is.
That's Nightly Business Report for Thursday, March 3rd. I'm Susie Garrow. Good night, everyone, and good night to you, Paul.
Good night, Susie. I'm Paul Kangas, wishing all of you the best of goodbye.
Nightly Business Report is made possible by A. G. Music to an investor's ears. AG. AG Edwards. Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized investment expertise of Franklin Templeton Mutual Series and Fiduciary Trust. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from our perspective. And made possible by the financial support of viewers like you. Thank you.
Heartland Hour, the Wild Dream Team.
follow.